But with him today, and I'm thankful you are too and that you're here. It's good to see each and every one of you. I encourage you to take your Bibles out, follow along with us, make sure that what's being stated is in harmony with the Word of God. If I were to ask you, do you want to be wise? How would you respond to that? What is wisdom? Well, a lot of times in our society, we equate being wise with just simply being smart. Being book smart. And probably all of us want to be book smart. We want to have knowledge and we want to be wise in the things that we're doing, that we're laboring to do. I know that I do, and I'm sure you do too. In fact, when I get sick and I go to the doctor, I want to go to someone who knows what they're doing, who knows about medicine. Do you? When I have to get my car worked on, I want to take it to someone who knows what they're doing. And I'm sure you do too. And the list just goes on and on when we think about knowing what we're doing, and we want to be smart and we want to have knowledge. But this morning I want us to think about wisdom. I want us to think about the question that I put on the board. Who is a wise man? We're not talking about someone who just simply knows and that's it. There's a very stark contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And the Bible makes that contrast in a number of places, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, when Paul would ask a series of questions. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For that after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's a difference in worldly wisdom and the wisdom of God. And we need to understand that. But the question is asked, and Alex did a very good job reading James 3:13. Who is a wise man among you? So I read that and I thought it'd make a good sermon for us to think about. Who the Bible says is a wise man. You know, the Bible talks about foolish people. Did you know that? Sometimes I do a sermon on Bible fools. It's an easily preached sermon and very simple. But the Bible also talks about wise people and things wise people do. And so I want us to think about this morning and tonight. There's several of them, most of which I think, with all the exception of maybe three of them, will come from the book of Proverbs. And we'll talk about who is a wise man tonight and this morning as well. But God calls upon His people to be wise. In James 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so if God doesn't want me to be unwise, then it stands to reason He wants me to be the opposite, which is wise. When Jesus was sending out the 12, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, notice what He instructed them. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So who is a wise man? When James asks these Christians, who is a wise man among you? How would you have responded to that? Who does the Bible categorize as being wise? Well, let's take a look at that. The first one that I want you to think about comes from the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Of course, Solomon is the penman of the book of Proverbs, a man who is granted wisdom by God. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he has a lot to say about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so the first thing that I want you to think about is, you think about who is a wise man, is that if you want to be wise, then you need to listen to the Word of God and increase learning. You'll be wise if you do that. That's the disposition, so says the Bible, of a wise man. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, a passage we use nearly every Sunday. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to know, you're going to have to listen. If you're going to be wise, you're going to have to hear it and increase your learning. In Proverbs 28:9, whosoever turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination to the Lord. In the context of that, in the time period of that, it's written during the time of the law of Moses. But folks, our prayers will be abomination to God if we do not listen and do the things that God would have us to be doing. That's why when you come over to the book of Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And so, the wise man will hear and increase knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But as you think about who is a wise man, come with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's begin with verse 6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." You want to be wise? And the wise man is saying you need to listen, you need to watch, you need to pay attention, you need to consider the ant. Consider her ways. Well, what about the ways of an ant? "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." It's a fascinating thing to look out and to think about the various ways that God's creatures move and do things, whether it's birds or butterflies or whatever the case may be, or an ant. "Go to the ant, thou slugger. Consider her ways and be wise." And then in verse 9, "How long wilt thou sleep, O slugger? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and then verse 11, Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, and he said that you study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands, as we commanded you. God expects us to labor, to work honestly. Not be slothful, don't be sluggard, don't be lazy, but consider the ant, consider her ways. You know, there's a lot of professions, maybe many of you are working in professions where you really have to be a self-motivator. You don't have anyone standing over your back. You don't have someone saying you need to do this, do that, or do the other. But you know what to do and you've got to do it. You've got to motivate yourself. It's much like being an evangelist. You've got to be a self-motivator. There's things that have to be done at a particular time. Right? I've told you before, I don't subscribe to an automated service delivery system. UPS don't drop them off the front door. I know that I had to stand before you this morning, so I have to prepare. You've got to do the same thing in your work and be a self-motivator. In Ephesians 4 and then verse 28, "Let him who stole," you know the rest of that, "steal no more, but rather let him labor or work with his own hands that which is good, that he may have to give to those who don't have." Paul said, "While we were with you, we commanded you that if any not work, neither should he eat." 2 Thessalonians 3 and then verse 10. And of course, 1 Timothy 5:8 that you're familiar with, that if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or a non-believer. And so we need to consider that. And that goes a long way in life. Not only exclusively to one's work, but when it comes to the family, when it comes to the work of the church, then we need to be busy and do those things that God would have us to do. That is, if we want to be wise, we'll consider the ant. But come with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 9. As we think about very simply, who is a wise man? Who does the Bible say a wise man is? In Proverbs 9, verse 8, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." Now what's this next part for our next point? "Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." A wise man is someone who will receive rebuking. Now think about that. A lot of times individuals hear rebuking, and what do? Well, they just get mad about it, that's right. They get mad, or they shut down. They don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to listen. Maybe they don't want to come back anymore. But a wise man is someone who will receive rebuking. It goes far in our life. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 10, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man." Now watch this contrast. "Reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." Foolish person, someone of a fool's disposition, don't want to hear correction, rebuking. In 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine or teaching." That's my duty, is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering. And we do that with the word of God. And wise people will take heed to that. Will listen to that. A fool will not. You'll have to decide which one you are. And I have to decide which one I am. Everything I say, by the way, begins with me. And goes all around the room to each of us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 8. I want to know who a wise man is. We're listening to God's word about who God says a wise man is. "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." What about God's commandments? The Bible is chock full of statements concerning the commandments of God. I just talked to you about rebuking, but rebuking and commandments are not the same thing. Rebuking is done by the Word of God. The commandments of God are the things that God has set forth for us to live by. Do you receive them? In Psalm 19, verse 11, we just sing a song. The commandments of the Lord. A lot of things the Bible says about that. In verse 10, "More to be desired are they." You'd have to go back in the context and notice who the "they" are. He's talking about the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, verses 7 through 9. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them," that's all those things that he lists in 7 through 9. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward." You know that statement, that famous statement that Jesus made in John 14, 15? "If you love me," what's the rest? "Keep my commandments." I think about the passage over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Well, I just simply can't do all that God would have me to do, someone may say or think. I remember so many times my dad telling me and my brother, "You need to get that word, can't," he'd say, "can't," however you want to say it, "out of your vocabulary. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, who or which strengthens me," depending on what version you read out of. And here in 1 John 5, 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." By the way, which direction do you read that in verse 3? When he says, "For this is the love of God," is he talking about God's love toward man or man's love toward God when he says that we keep His commandments? We demonstrate our love toward God by our obedience to Him. That's what's stated in John 15, or 14, verse 15. But without God's love, we wouldn't even have this written word. Because in it is revealed how man, what man must do in order to be saved. So a wise man will receive commandments. But also, back to the book of Proverbs, as we answer the question, who is a wise man? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude, by the way, are you wise? Where are you measuring up as you think about these things? In the multitude of words, Proverbs 10:19, there wanteth not sin. That means there lacketh not. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. I just mentioned to you last week about the disposition of just speaking what's on our mind and the danger of the folly of doing that. In verse 21, or verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Do you watch your tongue? Do you have your tongue in control? Do I? Or does my tongue control me? Which way is it? In Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. In Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Think about how strong our tongues are. It can tear down in a moment's time. In an instant, what has taken years to build up. Think about that. This church can labor for years and years and years, and in just an instant it can be destroyed with the power of the tongue. In James 3, verse 2, James talks about this little member. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And in Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the next time that we open up our mouth and spit out our words, I suggest we taste them first. Right? Think about what we say before we say it. Come with me to Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I love that hymn that we sing from time to time. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Do we take that seriously? Are we trying to win others to Christ? In Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age of the earth. The Lord is with us in that work. We can be rest assured that. Our responsibility is to go and to teach at every opportunity that we have. In James 5, and then verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converted, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. How wise are we? One more point. In Matthew chapter 7, The Lord talks about a foolish man and a wise man. I'd like for us to read Matthew 7:24 beginning. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it is founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. A wise man and a foolish man. You know what the difference was, the Lord says? One heard and obeyed, and one heard and did not obey. And so he that will be wise is one who will hear the word and do it. James talks about that in James 1:22-25. When he talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own self, for it. It may be a hearer of the word and not a doer. It is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He looks, he beholds, and he goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In the book of Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of the prophecy, of this prophecy, now watch this, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Again, our text, James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So again, a wise man is one who will listen, believe it, accept it, and obey it. Are you wise or foolish? You got to decide. The Bible's already laid forth before us several things of which the wise will do. Maybe you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel, but you've decided today's the day. I hope that's the case. Tomorrow may never be. Today is, right now. Today's the day I'm going to obey. Preacher, what must I do? Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. You've heard it. As I look out among us, all of us have heard it multiple times. How many times do you have to hear it to believe it and obey it? Those on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they heard one sermon, believed one sermon, obeyed one sermon. Do you believe it? John 8:24. Will you turn from your ways of the world and from sin and do that which is right in the sight of God, without which will perish? Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, the Lord will add you to the church of Christ, the one you read about on the pages of the Bible, Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned your back on the Lord. But you've come to yourself. You want to come home. You want to be restored. Be right in the sight of God. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.